20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for being here. For those of you who know me, you know how excited I am for today, because today we are doing our deep dive of first-round pick Matthew Golden, and we are kicking off our series today. We're going to go through Matthew Golden today, and then we'll see if we get any sort of other breaking news. We'll take probably a pause for minicamp this weekend, and then we'll kind of go from there. But we'll get through all eight of these rookies in their entirety and go into extraordinarily great detail on every single one of them, so you know everything, and I mean everything that you need to know about these rookies that Green Bay just drafted. And of course, always a little bit more exciting when you kick it off with the first round pick. So we're going to go over Matthew Golden, in a very fun way. And I'm just really excited to kind of let you guys know everything that I found out about him, and just kind of going through the scouting report. Had the opportunity to watch his Houston tape. I had obviously went through a ton of his Texas tape, watched all of his targets, all of his big plays, all of his gradable plays prior to the draft. Now I had the opportunity to go through more of his Texas tape and then go through all of his Houston tape as well. And excited to share what I found out with you. So we'll get into that in just a moment. First of all, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Charles Eaton and Keegan LaCroix. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a lot. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Definitely make sure to do so. Also like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. All of those things help the channel so incredibly much. And for those of you who have already subscribed or become members, thank you so much for doing that. We did have a pretty solid signing for Green Bay. As far as news and notes goes, this is a pretty solid one that happened on Monday. The Green Bay Packers signed Isaiah Simmons, and we'll probably do a sort of deeper dive on him at some point. But for now, what you need to know about Isaiah Simmons is that he was a former top 10 pick. When he came out of college, I mean, unbelievable freak athlete. I mean, just out of this world. There was a lot of question as to whether or not he would be a safety or a linebacker. He had all the requisite athleticism, as crazy as it sounds, to legitimately do both. At least that was the thought coming out of college. So whatever team, you know, ultimately drafted him, would they play him at linebacker? Would they play him at safety? Where would be his role? Or would he maybe be a base down safety? Just like dropping the, you know, nickel linebacker role? Like, how would you utilize him? And the truth of the matter is he's been used at safety. He's been used at linebacker, and he just hasn't found his team, his spot, his niche. It just hasn't completely clicked for him yet in the NFL. Not extremely dissimilar to sort of the Devondre Campbell sort of situation. Campbell was a Falcon and a Cardinal, and then came to Green Bay and found his spot. Campbell was also a very athletic linebacker, not really to quite the extent of Isaiah Simmons, but a very athletic linebacker, didn't find his home, then came to Green Bay, found the right spot, the right team, and the right system, played like a first team all pro, and like not in a fluky way. I did think it was like a down year for linebackers that year, so that helped a little bit where, you know, maybe it was first team instead of second team, but a really great season for Green Bay and earned that first team all pro. The rest did not go great for Devondre Campbell, for Green Bay, San Francisco, etc. And I do not expect him to be back in the league. But in this scenario, with Isaiah Simmons, you know, Green Bay has some experience of taking a really athletic linebacker who maybe just didn't have a great scheme fit or whatever it might be, take him into, you know, into Green Bay and have success with it. I think there's a couple of key things here to really note with Isaiah Simmons is he is still very young. He is still in his mid-20s, and he is somebody that has all the traits in the world up until this point. He's probably, well, not probably, he's going to be a linebacker for Green Bay. I don't think they're going to even remotely think about safety because they have that spot covered. What is nice is if you're looking at somebody for the back of a 48-man game day roster, having somebody that does have linebacker ability that also in like a pinch you could throw back at safety, that's always an added bonus. But here's the biggest thing. Sort of like we've talked about with Kevin King in Atlanta, going from, you know, just kind of revitalizing his career, going to the Falcons this past year and becoming a really great special teams player. Simmons has found his niche on special teams. He has become a fantastic special teams player. So in a way, you're sort of getting a souped up Eric Wilson here in Isaiah Simmons, somebody that can come in and play linebacker, but also is going to be a big time, you know, just special teams guy for you. And it's different, right? Wilson is not the freak athlete, but is a player who has a really great, you know, just sort of football IQ, can play three different spots. Simmons is the freak athlete that is sort of sometimes running around like a chicken with his head cut off, that doesn't necessarily always read and react the right way, doesn't always play everything the way that you would expect him to, but again, has all of those traits and of course is a fantastic special teams player as well. I think if you are getting your hopes up of like, oh my goodness, they just got a big time linebacker, I would hit the pause button, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. This is somebody that is probably going to be at best their number four linebacker. I would expect them very much behind Quay and Cooper, obviously, and then probably even Isaiah McDuffie is going to have to battle with you know, Tyron Hopper for probably that number four spot. And then you know, even Christian Welch, right? Because he's got some experience in this defense and is a core special teamer as well. Like, there's going to be some battles. And of course, they just got the undrafted free agent as well out of Kentucky that looks like he can potentially, Dumas Johnson, I believe his last name is. You know, he is somebody that could potentially make this team too. So let's see what the contract looks like. It, just sort of like we said with Mecole Hardman, as to whether or not it's like, you know, all you have to do is look at the guarantees. If it's like, $2 million guaranteed. All right, well, he's made the team. You know, we're done there. We know that we can just basically put him on the 53 right now. Not 100% sure, but like 98% sure, right? And then, you know, if it's more of like the Mecole Hardman, where it's either, you know, no minimums or, you know, 250K or something like that, well, then we know he's very much going to have to earn his job come training camp. And I would expect him to. I think there's a very strong chance that he makes this team. And I think the other thing that I should note here too is that he's a very fun piece for Jeff Hafley. And if there's any defensive coordinator that I would trust to sort of unlock all of his athleticism and find unique and creative ways to utilize him, it would be Jeff Hafley. And this is just sort of like we've been talking about with Matt LaFleur in offense of, hey, just give him all these different weapons and Matt will figure it out. And they did a great job at wide receiver of adding a couple new elements to that offense there. And they've got different styles of tight ends and running backs and now even offensive linemen. And like now Matt will be able to figure that out and like put all those pieces together. With Jeff Hafley, it's the same thing. Now they've got him a speed rusher that they drafted in the fifth round. And now they have a, you know, super, you know, athletic off-ball linebacker that has safety linebacker hybrid in his name and can just run for days. I mean, there's a world, by the way, in which at some point this season, whether it's due to injuries or happenstance, or maybe there's a specific package that Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, and Isaiah Simmons line up together in like a true 4-3. And if that ever does happen, I would be willing to bet you. I don't know that I can prove this. I don't know. Maybe somebody can prove it or disprove it. I would be willing to bet you Luigi's Pizza, let's just put it that way, that that is the most athletic linebacker, three-man linebacker group that's ever been put together. Like that is a, I'm not saying best linebacker group. I'm saying the most athletic linebacker group. They've got some absolute athletes at that spot right now, which is always exciting. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be successful, but it's exciting when you have those type of players. So I think this is a really smart signing for Green Bay. They did not address the position via the draft. And you have four guys really that are going to make this team in McDuffie, Hopper, Cooper, and Quay. And then you now have, you know, Dumas Johnson, the undrafted free agent, Christian Welch and Isaiah Simmons that are probably battling for one or two back of the end or back of the roster linebacker spots, which is, I think, exactly where you kind of want to be. Now, overall, I really like this off-ball linebacker group. You have some young talent. You've got some, you know, players now like Quay Walker who've been in the league for a little bit. Christian Welch has been a little bit of a journeyman and a special teams guy. Isaiah Simmons is a fast, athletic special teams guy with some versatility. Tyron Hopper is sort of a lottery ticket, third round pick from a season ago. It's a good mix. And, you know, I wish they didn't lose their linebackers coach to Jacksonville because he was doing such a great job with Cooper and Quay and those guys. And I think this would be a unbelievable, you know, sort of ball of clay group that you can kind of continue to mold. But either way, this is a really fun linebacker group, and I think this was a very solid signing for Green Bay. Leonard Payne was released, a back-of-the-roster defensive tackle. He is gone. Zane Anderson signed his exclusive rights free agent tender. Meanwhile, voluntary workouts kicked off. So the Packers were back in town and doing a lot of their practicing and working out and all those sort of things. Matt Schneidman, bless him, went through the 100 and some pictures that Packers.com posted from voluntary workouts and voluntary practices and found all the players, at least that he could find, that were there in a real Where's Waldo sort of way. There were only 5 players that he could not find on the roster from the pictures that were posted out there by Evan Siegel and on Packers.com. Those 5 players were Jaire Alexander, which would make sense. Christian Watson, which would make sense. Romeo Doubs, which is somewhat kind of eyebrow raising interesting. Elton Jenkins and Matt Orzech. Now, I want to be as clear as possible, just because, you know, Matt couldn't find them in the pictures, by no means is a guarantee that they were not there. We have no reports that they weren't there. All 5 of them easily could have been there. So just to be very, very clear, we don't know that they weren't there. We just know everyone else was there. And we, you know, Matt couldn't find them in any of the pictures that were out there. So Jaire Watson, Doubs, Jenkins, and Orzech was not located in any of the pictures. Again, very clear. We don't know that they weren't there. They could have been doing something else at the time. Who knows? And if, with Watson, he could have easily been rehabbing somewhere. We just don't know the entire situations, but those are the only 5 that Matt could not identify in some capacity. All right, let's get into our Matthew Golden deep dive. And I just want to reiterate what the goal of this deep dive is. I am not trying to say that Matthew Golden is going to be a great Packer. I am not trying to tell you that he's going to be a terrible Packer. And with all of these deep dives, whether I think they are great picks or, you know, some, you know, I don't think any of these guys in their entire draft class have been bad picks. I like this class a lot, but even if I did, that would not be my goal, is to, you know, lead you in one way or the other. My goal slash job in these is to get you all of the information that you need to know. And then you can jump to any conclusion that you would like of he's going to be a Hall of Famer, he's going to be cut in a year, or anything in between. I will let you come to that conclusion. But that's the goal of the deep dives, is to just try to educate you as much as possible on all the things that I saw on tape and that I've been able to find about Matthew Golden as well. So let's get started right away. 5'11", 191-pound wide receiver out of Texas, spent 2 years at Houston prior to transferring to Texas in 2024, just spent the 1 year in Texas, is a true third-year junior, 21 years old, will turn 22 in August, 17th percentile arm length, 60th percentile hand size, and a 44th percentile wingspan. So he's got good size hands, shorter arms, okay wingspan, you know, okay height, okay weight. That's what you're kind of looking at from a overall profile of what he looks like physically. From an athleticism standpoint, he does not have a relative athletic score because he did not do all the testing. All he did was the 40-yard dash. That was it. He tested 34th percentile in height, 44th percentile in weight, and then 99th percentile in the 40-yard dash with a 4.29 40, the second fastest 40-yard dash time of anyone at the combine this year. Also had a 1.47 second 10-yard split, which is absurd, was also in the 99th percentile. When you put those numbers in to RAS, to the Relative Athletic Score database, what it will also spit you back is players that have similar athletic profiles. Now, this is a little bit less to go on, right? Because we only have height, weight, and 40-yard dash. But 3 players that immediately popped up as similar athletic comps were Emmanuel Sanders, which I think is very fitting, Santonio Holmes, which I think is very fitting, and then just more interesting, Bo Melton was also on that list. When you put their athletic, or when you put Matthew Golden's athletic profile into mock draftable, or you go there and you see it, another one again that popped up here, same thing, was Bo Melton. So again, to be, you know, to just kind of make you aware, that's just athletic profile. That doesn't mean they're going to be those players, good, bad, or indifferent, but just those are similar athletes that played in the NFL that had a similar athletic profile to Matthew Golden, just to kind of give you an idea of what that might look like from an athletic standpoint. All right, PFF. In 2022, his first year at Houston, Golden had a 65.7 grade on 538 snaps, also had a 65.3 receiving grade that year. In 2023, had a 68.4 grade on 403 snaps and a 68.5 receiving grade. And in 2024, had a 74.3 grade on 854 snaps and a 75.6 receiving grade. And I think it's important to note here, and I've talked to you guys about this in the past, one of the things that I love seeing from a college player is that consistent progression. 65.7, 68.4, 74.3. Receiving grade 65.3, 68.5, 75.6. And why it's even a little bit more important this time in 2024 is because he went from Houston. Not that Houston is a, you know, small school or, you know, bad football school or program or anything like that. They're a very, you know, competitive program. But when you look at him going from Houston then to the SEC in Texas, then the question becomes, all right, is there any sort of drop off? Does he not look the same? Is there? No, he continued that progression. He continued to look better and get better and have his best season in the SEC for Texas. In 2024, he was given, or he had 91 targets. This is all still per PFF. Had 59 receptions, 990 yards, 9 touchdowns, had 4 drops, 0 fumbles, had a 111.5 passer rating when targeted. That's very good. 2023, 66 targets came his way. He had 40 catches for 420 yards, 6 touchdowns, did have 6 drops, no fumbles, 103.1 passer rating when targeted. And in 2022, had 60 targets, 38 receptions, 584 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 drops, 1 fumble, a 127.4 passer rating when targeted. Overall, in his college career, he played 1,493 snaps out wide, 325 in the slot, 17 in the backfield, and then 4 in line. That's where your overall snaps are. So a primary outside wide receiver that can also dabble in the slot a little bit. Quite frankly, I think they could have used him in the slot much more if they wanted to. I just think he's such a talented wide receiver on the outside. Those are usually the harder ones to find. So you play him on the outside, but if in Green Bay, clearly is going to probably want to play him more outside because you have Reed and Wicks amongst others who can play in the slot. Hardman, Melton, even Tucker Kraft amongst others can play there. Musgrave. So I'm sure they're going to want to play him outside more, but he is more than capable of playing as a slot receiver as well. 17 snaps in the backfield, you know, not many, but he can easily be that if you want him to do a little bit of that, not as like a running back, but just kind of, you know, some, there was a couple of plays and like pony personnel and things like that. You can definitely motion him back there, motion him out of there. There's just nothing really that he can't do, which we're going to get into here in just a moment. Also had 130 career special team snaps, 119 of those were as on the kick return team as a kick returner. He had 30 kick returns, 771 yards, and 2 career kick returns for touchdown in college. He had 3 punt returns for 0 yards. Some notes, he missed 2 games with a rib injury in 2022, missed 3 games in 2023 due to a turf toe injury that did require surgery. On Dane Brugler's big board, he was 15th overall. On Daniel Jeremiah's big board, he was 14th overall. On the consensus big board, he was 18th overall. And he was Todd McShay's favorite wide receiver in the entire draft. I'm not sure if that includes Travis Hunter as a, you know, a wide receiver corner hybrid. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I know Todd McShay mentioned him as his favorite wide receiver in the draft. All right, let's get to the strengths and weaknesses for Matthew Golden. And we're going to spend a hot second on the strengths because there are plenty of them. He is a natural hands catcher. Now, he did have drops. I put those down into a little bit more of concentration drops, but to me, plucks the ball out of the air as, you know, uses the, you know, kind of the diamond, you know, when he's catching the ball, and it's just, it looks very natural. And the other thing I would say too is he got better with the drops and just the hands in general as the years went along. If you look early on, there were some drops and then there was also some double catches. So it hits his hands and then bounces and then he still catches it. You didn't see that anywhere near as much at Texas this past year. So you can tell he's worked on it. He's continued to get better at it. But when you just see him play the game, like without even really thinking about it, like he has very natural hands. I think to me, it's all about making sure he's looking at it in and not having those concentration drops, but the hands are definitely there. We'll talk about Goody's comments on those in just a moment as well. Here's the big thing. You can play him outside. You can play him in the slot. He also has some gadget ability. He wasn't really ever used as a gadget guy, at least not in any real way. There is some lining him up in the backfield. There's a lot of wide receiver screens early on at his time in Houston, but he can be a little bit more of a gadget guy. You could certainly give it to him on end arounds, reverses, you know, some jet sweeps, pop passes, things like that. Clearly, you could use him in some of those, you know, bubble screen situations. You could definitely run the pony personnel with him in the backfield and motion him out and get him some screens that way. You could run a Texas route with him out of the backfield. He has that ability, but he's such a great wide receiver on the outside. You don't really need to, I don't want to say resort to that, but they you know, just didn't use him like that at Texas. Not much, at least. But if Green Bay wanted to utilize him that way, you certainly could. He can do a little bit of everything, and he can do pretty much it all very, very well. He's very fluid, and he's a complete wide receiver that, as mentioned, can do a little bit of everything. He's got great speed after the catch with incredible acceleration. And I want to note something here as well. What have you heard? And it is in my weaknesses that we're going to get to. What have you heard on every single person's breakdown of Matthew Golden? And it's funny. I look you in the eye. I can tell you right now, I watched Matthew Golden before I looked at a single scouting report. And one of my very first things that I wrote down was, has the 4.29 40, but doesn't always look like he's, or doesn't necessarily always look like he's a 4.29 40 guy. And we've talked about it. I've talked about it a couple of times already. He looks more like a 4.4 guy at times. Everyone to a T. Every scouting report that you look at, every scouting report that you read, list, doesn't always play up to that 4.29 40 speed. It's remarkable. But what I want to note here is I am so happy that I went back and watched his Houston tape as a freshman, because it truly looks 4.29 40 almost all the time. He has it. And I don't know at Texas, I don't know if he maybe just put on a little bit of, you know, functional strength, and, you know, maybe it just took a little bit of that, you know, time off. And then maybe he took a little bit of that off for the combine so he could run extra fast. I'm not entirely sure. His body type looked just a little bit different, and he looked like a little bit more of like a linear speed guy. That was more of like a, I would say like, again, a low 4.4s guy. But go watch him at Houston his freshman year, especially even his sophomore year, but especially his freshman year. And my goodness, that acceleration shows up in an insane way. That speed shows up in an insane way. And he did consistently look like a 4.29 40 guy. I have some theories on the Texas thing. I mentioned one of them already. I think also Quinn Ewers had something to do with this, but he is very, very fast. Whatever that testing is, whether he's a low 4.4 or a 4.2 guy, he's very fast. But I was very happy to see on his Houston tape that true, pure, unadulterated speed really come to the forefront. And his acceleration is really the superpower here. He looks very natural playing wide receiver. And I've talked about this in the past as well, not with Golden, but just in general, of like when you're a wide receiver or when you're a corner, those two positions especially, I look for, like, that's one of the best compliments I can give. I look for people who, like, you just look at them and you're like, yeah, they were born to play that position. And I wouldn't necessarily put him in the upper echelon of somebody like that, but he is very clearly a natural wide receiver. It comes very easy to, and I mean, when I say it comes easy, it just looks very easy to him. There's nothing that looks difficult for him out on the field. There's just little movements that he has, little nuances that, you know, it's just a natural thing for him. Yeah, like I said, he looks like he was born to play wide receiver. Very, very natural playing that position. The another big one that allows him to get open, and that, you know, we talk about the 4.29 40 speed, and it doesn't always look that way. By the way, when you're route running, you don't want it to always look that way. You want little changes in pace, and you want him, you know, to be able to change speeds within the route, throttle up, throttle down. That's the sign of a good route runner. You're just one speed all the time. That's not exactly what you're looking for. It's kind of like a pitcher with a fastball and a changeup. Sometimes you need to throw them off a little bit. You're going to run one speed, and then boom, you're going to accelerate the opposite way, and then you're really going to take off and can kind of lull a corner to sleep. And you want that difference in pacing throughout the course of the route, depending on what kind of route that you're running. So he does have that ability to change speeds within the route. Again, I think he's a very good route runner that has the ability to be even better once it gets to the NFL. So there's some things he can work on, but I already like the way that he goes about his pacing within his routes, his movements, how he can kind of manipulate with his eyes and his head. And I think, like I said, it's only going to get better as he continues to go along. I think his release package is going to get better as well. He's a willing blocker on the outside. We'll talk about some of the downfalls as a blocker, but he's more than willing, and he will make some blocks that will spring players on the outside, you know, not regularly, but it's not rare either. He plays much bigger than his size. And we talked about this with, you know, players like Jaden Reed, where if you're going to go with a little bit smaller, especially the Packers, you know, 5'11", kind of, as Brian Gutekunst said, is just a little bit above that Mendoza line. They need to play bigger than that size. Jaden Reed's a great example of that, especially if you look at his college tape. And Matthew Golden is an example of that as well. He looks 5'11 when you watch him on tape, but he can go up and get the ball. He'll pluck it out of the air. He'll high point it. And he plays much bigger physically than what that 5'11", 190 would indicate on paper. He does have some kick return potential. As I mentioned, he had two kick returns for touchdown. Those were both in his sophomore season at Houston. He showed off the ability to make highlight level catches, some big time plays where he plucks the ball out of the air, multiple one-handed catches that were really impressive, including some tough ones along the sideline. Just making these spectacular plays. And really, a lot of those he made look easy too. So he has the ability for those highlight level plays. Only one fumble in his career, that was as a freshman, has been very clean taking care of the football. And also has been very clutch coming up in big moments. There was a play in Arizona State game, which I'm sure you know about by now, where game is on the line. It's a fourth and like seven, fourth and 13, fourth and 15, something like that. And it's a must-have play. And Golden gets open and scores the game tying touchdown at that point. There's another game I was watching. Oh, it was against Texas. So his sophomore season, if you want a really fun tape, go and watch him playing for Houston against Texas. You want to know why Texas probably heavily recruited him? Go watch that game that Texas played against him, and you'll know why. I mean, he basically single-handedly kept Houston in that game against Texas. And there was a fourth down play late in the game. He came up with the completion, and he just kept coming up with big play after big play in their biggest game of the year against Texas, made a name for himself, and then got the ability to go. He had a lot of offers, but went to Texas, and the rest is obviously history. But that was, again, another clutch moment. Is on the road to their, you know, in the playoffs and, you know, championship games this past year, he played his best football when this team needed it most, when everything was on the line. He played his absolute best that he ever has. Like, again, he has that clutch gene in him for sure. He's capable of holding on through contact. So again, despite his size, he'll take a hit. Like he'll be able to get some of those contested catches, and he can absorb contact pretty well. There's a, this, you know, 5'11", 190, you don't usually talk about like being compact, but there's a little bit of like him being compact and him kind of being able to bounce off some things. I really like kind of his stature, and despite being a little bit shorter, a little bit, you know, not like bigger guy, he does handle contact very, very well. Per Brian Gutekunst, he's authentic, genuine, and loves football. Goody said he has the best hands in the draft. That seems like a little bit of hyperbole. I don't know that I would go that far, but again, I do think he has very natural hands. And Goody also says his ability to stretch the field outside the numbers was really, really important, which of course, if you're a 4-2 guy, you know, you want to have that ability to win down the field, and his ability to win down the field, stack the corner and come up with, you know, track the ball over his head and come up with some very difficult catches down the field. Again, it's just going to open up so much more for his game, and his ability to show that is, I think, really what elevated him into that first round level and being somebody that Green Bay would consider at pick 23. He can win at all three layers of the field. I've talked about more recently of what I need something from you. I need you to be able to have a run after the catch ability, whether that be via being broken tackles, easy for me to say, or speed. He can break tackles too, but he's a speed guy, right? He can run away from people, but he's got that ability after the catch. You can get him in short routes and he can take it the distance, especially watch his Houston tape for that. Then can you win intermediate? Can you win with route running, and can you get separation? The answer for Matthew Golden is yes. And then last but not least, can you win down the field? And the answer with Matthew Golden is yes. He may not be a 1A, like sort of, you know, deep threat with great size and speed down the field, but man, he can get open. Like he is a legitimate deep threat down the field. He may not be a 1A separator route runner, like, you know, a Davante Adams in his prime, something like that, or even Davante Adams now, but he can get open and he can separate. And he may not be, you know, your player, you know, behind the line of scrimmage, you know, that you can just get the ball to, and they're going to make it like Tyreek Hill or something like that. But he's really good still getting the ball in his hands, making some people miss, and showing off that acceleration and speed. So he can win all three layers of the field. Tracks the ball incredibly well downfield, and then knows how to create separation on the top of the route. He has some quick cuts, knows how to sink his hips, does a pretty good job of coming back to the ball, and just knows, like, there's a play early on in his career at Houston where he's going to run that fade and, you know, just basically, you know, getting up there for a nine route. And his speed is so dangerous that the corner is going to rush to make sure that Matthew Golden can't stack him and get that separation, right? There's a play early on where he's going to go for that, you know, that fade showing that he's going to do a nine route, gets that release outside, and he's going to be gone. And the corner goes to catch up to him, and then he cuts it back and runs a slant across of him, and it gets open on it. Now, as a freshman, it was a little choppy. So as he cuts it off, he takes a few too many steps, and that allows the corner kind of a little bit back in the play. If he just makes a one-step cut back inside, he's going to have acres of separation. And those are the little things that you can kind of work with over time. But the reason I bring that up is that threat to be able to go deep, it allows him to hit some real comeback routes and some easy short and intermediate stuff, because teams are so afraid of his speed and corners are so afraid of his speed. But some of those routes, like, again, cutting it off on a slant underneath it, like, those things are all going to be there for him because he has that speed to beat you deep, and corners do not want to get beat deep, and teams do not want to get beat deep. So that's going to, you know, create some very fun and easy separation as he even continues to get better and better as a route runner. Of course, there are some weaknesses as well. We hate them, but they are legitimately there for every single player. So let's go over them. As we talked about, we can say it anyway, he doesn't always look 4.29. I got so much more enthusiasm for his speed after watching the Houston tape, and it is there. It is real. It's spectacular. And again, I think some of the stuff at Texas was a little bit more due to the offense, him getting acclimated, and then, you know, Quinn Ewers throwing him ducks down the field that he had to sort of slow down for. I think there's a variety of different reasons there, but he's definitely fast enough one way or the other. With his size, he's going to have a little bit, you know, size deficiencies, smaller catch radius. He's a smaller wide receiver getting off a press. Those are things that are going to be difficult from time to time, and it just based on his size. He does a great job of overcoming it, but his size profile is not obviously that of like a normal premier style wide receiver. Now, Tyreek Hill is a premier wide receiver, and he's shorter and smaller and everything than Matthew Golden. These guys can come in all shapes and sizes, but just in general, you know, if he were 2 inches taller, you know, you wouldn't mind that. Let's just put it that way. But again, he plays bigger than his size for sure. He's not super dynamic after the catch, although I will argue, again, go back and watch his early days at Houston, and he was very dynamic after the catch. I just thought at Texas, we saw some ability to run away from people, and usually makes a very subtle, like, one cut and then uses that speed, which is exactly what you want, by the way. But he's not somebody that's going to, you know, juke and jive and, you know, break a bunch of tackles and things like that. It's more subtle and then speed. And again, I'll say that's exactly what you kind of want from him, but he's not the most dynamic run after the catch guy in the world. I do think there's room for growth with his route running to get better. That's more of a good thing than a bad thing, but he's not a complete route runner at this point in time. He's a willing blocker, but he's not an impact blocker. And you would like to see him play with a little bit more physicality. Part of that's due to his size limitations, but I do think it's within him. So I'd like to see him just be a little bit more physical within his run blocking, but he does at least give effort. And that is kind of at least a first part of getting that correct moving forward. Limited special teams ability. Brian Gutekunst mentioned punt returner. He's got that kick return experience. If anything, he'll probably have some minor return duties, and that's probably it. He's probably not going to be a gunner or anything else. So there is limited special teams ability with Matthew Golden. I wonder a little bit if he would be in this spot had it not been for the last four games of his final season, or his last game, or last four games at Texas. His numbers and his overall sort of career profile were pretty pedestrian, not pedestrian, that's the wrong word, but he didn't really have that breakout. And then in the last four games, he broke out in a significant way, averaging over 100 yards per game in those four games, and was phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. So, I mean, the question kind of is, did he just get hot at the right time, get the right matchups, get whatever, or did he sort of figure it out and the game started to slow down for him more, and now, like, this is the real Matthew Golden? I don't have much concern on that because, again, I went back and watched him at Houston, and I actually think his freshman Houston stuff is some of the best stuff that he has out there. It is really, really fun. So he's had this since day one. He continues to get better, and I think he's only going to continue to get better on his path in the NFL. And then last but not least, leave the throwing to somebody else. He threw two passes this past year, and the first one was bowling shoe ugly, just god awful. Let's not. And then they for some reason decided to do it again, and he throws a complete wounded duck. Just wobble, 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 way up in the air, comes down. Two guys in coverage, no right to be thrown, and somehow the tight end just out jumps and out muscles everyone and comes up with like a 30-yard reception. So I think he was like 1 for 2 with 30 yards, and it was two of the ugliest throws that you've ever seen in your life. So, you know, Savion Williams has argued that what they said was the best arm from TCU, even of the quarterbacks or anyone. So maybe Savion Williams can do a little bit of that if you want a wide receiver to throw a ball, or, you know, maybe there's another wide receiver that can do that as well. But I'm good with Matthew Golden not throwing the ball on some trick plays. Let's leave that for potentially somebody else. All right, some other notes that I have. I do, as I mentioned earlier, believe that the quarterbacking at Texas, I can't believe just watching the tape of Golden that Quinn Ewers got drafted. I know he's like a late seventh rounder, but whew, that was some bad quarterbacking at times, leaving him way underthrown over and over and over again. Let's just say Matthew Golden's going to be very, very happy to have Jordan Love throwing him the football moving forward. Early in his career, he had Clayton Tune at Houston, and that was it looked much better. Let's just put it that way, and was able to hit him in stride down the field a little bit more. This is per Marcus Mosher. 28 wide receivers were drafted in round one since 2020. Matthew Golden had the fewest yards per game in his best season of any of them. So in their best seasons, in all the wide receivers, 28 of them drafted in the first round since 2020, Golden had arguably the worst best year of any of them, if that makes sense. And that just shows like what's your upside in your best season. Based on statistics, you would argue that Golden's, you know, best season was the worst amongst normal first round draft picks, again, over the last 28 of them since 2020. I don't read a lot into that. I think a lot of it was some pass interference penalties that don't get caught, you know, sort of into that equation. And then Quinn Ewers. I think if Ewers is a better quarterback, we're talking about Matthew Golden having a massive, massive year this past year. Some other stats. He had a 68.5% success rate versus man coverage, and an 82.5% success rate versus zone coverage, and an 83.3% contested catch rate. 72.4% of Golden's receptions went for a touchdown or a first down last season, which was fifth amongst draftable wide receivers. So think about that. 72.4% of his catches were either a first down or a touchdown. That is a crazy number. And again, fifth amongst draftable wide receivers. Golden had a catch of at least 20 yards in 15 of 16 games this past year. So there's only one game in 16 where he did not have a catch of at least 20 yards, which is a remarkable statistic. He was the only college football wide receiver with more catches of at least 20 yards. Sorry, let me rephrase that one more time. The only college football wide receiver with more catches of at least 20 yards in 2024 was Travis Hunter. He was second. So he, when it came to deep ball throws, plays of 20 yards or more, Golden was amazing, and only Travis Hunter had more of those than him. And he averaged at least 20 yards per catch in 10 of the 16 games this past season. So some really fun numbers there. Some good, some not so good maybe, but again, showing you sort of overall weapon that he is. And I, like I said, some very fun statistics mixed in there. All right, what can he bring to Green Bay in 2025? As a wide receiver, anything they need him to be. Now, part of it's going to be his transition from college to the NFL. How long does that take? How quickly does he feel acclimated to the NFL level? But if you want to play him at either outside wide receiver spot, if you want to play him in the slot, if you want to use him a little bit more gadgety, if you want to use him as a returner, you can. He's got all of that in his wheelhouse. It just depends on how you want to use him, and it just depends on how quickly he acclimates himself to the NFL, which, by the way, I think is not going to take a huge chunk of time. He is that natural of a wide receiver. I think he's going to be able to help Green Bay right away in 2025. As mentioned, there's some potential return ability as well. He's definitely, at worst, going to bring some depth and competition to that wide receiver room, which is a great sign because those guys need to really step up in 2025. And the other thing I'll say is he has an it factor. So it would not stun me if we saw, you know, him just kind of start showing that off sooner rather than later. He's a very talented wide receiver. He has extreme confidence and he wants to go out there and compete. Because of that, I think there is a good chance that he can come in and do a lot of good for this offense, you know, right away in 2025. And then the last thing I'll add here about this is we talked about earlier of him being an ascending player. He got better every single year in college, despite going to tougher competition in his final year. Greg Cassell did a little video breaking him down. And he said last year, he pegged one wide receiver as an ascending wide receiver that was in the draft that he felt was, you know, showed that he was consistently getting better and was going to ascend to an either even higher plane once he got to the NFL. And he said he had one this year as well, and that was Matthew Golden. He showed the ascension in college that he thinks once he gets to the NFL, there's even going to be another level that he gets to, another ascension for him. Golden was the player this year. Brian Thomas, Jacksonville's wide receiver, was the receiver last year. So Greg Cassell, very, very good at what he does. Very, very smart film breakdown guy and analyst. And he last year pegged Brian Thomas as that guy. And this year he has Matthew Golden as that guy. All right, my final thoughts. This was my note. And I've mentioned this before in a couple other episodes, but this is my note prior to the draft, prior to knowing that Matthew Golden was going to be a Green Bay Packer. I said, quote, he should come in and make an impact right away, has the ability to develop into a nice number one wide receiver, but at minimum should be a really good number two and sooner rather than later. All right. So that was before Green Bay drafted him. No green and gold tinted glasses here. Nothing like that. That was my legitimate breakdown of him prior to the draft. So I believe that Green Bay is going to get a guy who can make an impact right away, has the ability to develop into a true number one wide receiver. In this case, I said nice number one wide receiver, but at minimum should be a really good number two. The other thing I'll say is his Houston tape showed me an entirely different side, much more dynamic than I thought even his Texas stuff was this year. And that got me so much more even excited. I was already excited and that pumped me up even more. If you want to see some of those plays, I posted a handful of them over on my Twitter account at Andy Herman NFL. So go check that out. But I was even more juiced up after watching his Houston tape. There is so much nuance to his game. There is so much that is in, you know, him as like the total package at wide receiver, just beaming watching his Houston stuff. So I thought we saw a little bit more of that dynamic playmaking ability at Houston, and that's in him. And I think it's going to come out when he has a real legitimate quarterback in an offense like Matt LaFleur's. And last but not least, I cannot wait to see him at rookie minicamp. Can't wait to see what he looks like, the type of speed that he plays with. Really looking forward to it this weekend to see what some of these rookies look like. And certainly Matthew Golden is on top of that list. All right, friends, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining. Hope you enjoyed our first deep dive breakdown. We will get to round two tomorrow, then round three, and so on and so forth. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Rasul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.